At other times, this does not seem to be the case. Fatum sometimes seems to be equivalent to the will of Jupiter. Other times seems to be an impersonal force apart from the will of Jupiter and the other gods. And throughout the Aeneid, especially in the second half, especially in books 7 through 12, it seems that while the gods cannot alter Fatum, they can delay it and interfere with its working out. And that's what I want to turn our attention to at this point. Not so much who it is that speaks Fatum or where Fatum comes from, but the gods' interactions with Fatum or fate. The conversation between Jupiter and Juno in book 12 is crucial for the point I want to make here. I referenced that conversation in the last lecture when Jupiter tells Juno to stop resisting Aeneas' destiny, stop trying to keep Aeneas from marrying Lavinia. And Jupiter says, in effect, he reminds Juno that she knows all of this is fated to happen and that she's going to have to stop resisting at some point, and it might as well be now. And Juno agrees on the stipulation that the Trojans will lose their name and will take over the name of the Latins. Now, it's quite clear from that conversation that Juno must yield eventually. It's quite clear that at some point she's going to have to stop resisting. At some point she's going to have to let Fatum take its course. But equally clearly, she can and does interfere in the workings of Fatum from the very beginning of the Aeneid. We see her doing that. And equally clearly, she could continue to intervene with the workings of Fatum. The very fact that Jupiter says to her, when will you stop? When will you give up? When will you stop resisting? Indicates that she could, if she wished, continue to resist longer. So, yes, Aeneas is fated to reach his destiny to become the ancestor of the Roman people, but there seems to be a lot of room for Juno, or any other god for that matter, to interfere in that process. In the same conversation between Jupiter and Juno, we get a very clear indication of just how malleable the boundaries of Fatum are. Aeneas is fated to found the Roman race, but apparently the details are not set. And thus, for instance, Juno can bargain for the Trojans' change of name and language, which I've already mentioned. Listen to what Jupiter says in response to that when Juno says, let the name of Troy die just as the Trojan city has died. Jupiter responds, I shall add their rituals and customs to the Ausonians, it's another name for the Latins, and make them all and with one language, Latins. You will see a race arise from this that, mingled with the blood of the Ausonians, will be past men, even past gods in piety. No other nation will pay you such honor. Juno agreed to this with gladness. She then changed her mind. Okay, Jupiter says, all right, let the Trojans lose their name. Let the Trojans become Latins. That's fine. That's a good idea. I'll work it out that way, and the race that arises from them will pay you greater honor than anyone else. Implied here seems to be that it could have gone the other way, that the Trojans could have continued to be called Trojans, that they could have continued to speak whatever language they're speaking before they arrive in Italy. In other words, the details are open to manipulation by the gods. Now, from the human point of view, of course, fate, Fatum, can seldom be known until after it has already occurred. We can only look back and say such and such an event must have been fated to happen exactly as it happened. We can only see that in retrospect. And most characters in the Aeneid, and for that matter in ancient literature in general, most characters are entirely ignorant of their fates. Even Aeneas, though he's told his fate over and over again, even Aeneas seems at times to doubt it, seems at times to forget about it, seems less than sure that it really will happen, despite the fact that he has been told quite directly that it really will happen. But for us as readers, not for the characters within the Aeneid, but for us as readers outside the Aeneid, this double view of fate, seen from the gods' perspective and from the humans' perspective, adds poignancy and power and, once again, inevitability to the narrative.